from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. So here's one from the electronic world that's so unbelievable, it has to be true. And it is. You've probably heard about Amazon's electronic book reader, the Kindle. It's a portable electronic device with a very readable screen that you can read books or newspapers or magazines on. A Kindle owner can go to Amazon.com, select from hundreds of thousands of book titles, pay for the book, download it, and read it on the Kindle. The Kindle can store hundreds of books, has all sorts of neat features like being able to fold down the corners of electronic pages you want to remember, provides a place to take notes, allows you to make the text size bigger or smaller, and so on. Overall, pretty neat. Most people who have Kindles seem to really like them. So imagine the surprise of those Kindle owners who had bought and paid for George Orwell's famous books 1984 and Animal Farm. Those Kindle owners woke up one morning and found that Amazon had removed the books from their Kindles. Yep, that's right. In order to buy books or check what's new at Amazon, you have to use Amazon's download service, which, it turns out, can also be an upload service. In other words, Amazon can get into your machine and do what it wants with it, even though you laid out $400 for the thing and bought and paid for those Orwell books. Amazon did provide refunds in this case for the books, and eventually explained that the books had been put on the Amazon site by a company that didn't actually own the copyright, and so Amazon had no choice but to pull back all the copies that they sold. That certainly makes good sense from one perspective. But suppose that the same thing had happened at a print bookstore. Suppose you bought a book that later turned out to be an illegal copy. Would you imagine someone from Borders or from your local bookstore slipping into your house while you were asleep, grabbing the book from your bookshelf, and leaving the money you paid for it on the table? Probably not. This is a reminder that despite the analogies we use in describing the electronic realm, it is not the same as the physical world. And one way in which it's different is in who has control over the devices that you pay for and supposedly own. Kindles are not the only example of control over devices in our lives slipping out of our hands in this increasingly electronic world. For example, a fellow of our acquaintance who drives a late model GM car mentioned that he had backed his car into a tree in his yard by mistake the other day, and a voice from his dashboard said, "Are you all right, sir?" The car sustained no real damage. He wasn't going fast in his driveway, and the bumper absorbed the impact nicely. But it was enough of a bump so that the sensors in the car sent an alert to OnStar, which comes built into GM cars, and the OnStar operator immediately reacted to see if any help was needed. On the one hand, this fellow said, it was comforting to know that if it had been a real accident, someone would have noticed. On the other hand, the experience, quote, weirded me out. While it was comforting that he could call for help if he needed it, it was considerably less comforting to know that someone could listen in on what was going on in his car without him knowing it. To do that, of course, OnStar needs to know where the car is, but since OnStar provides driving directions, it does know where you are, all the time. And another OnStar service might be equally comforting and weird at the same time. OnStar's stolen vehicle slowdown allows customers to call if their vehicle is stolen, and OnStar uses the vehicle's GPS to find where the car is located. Then an OnStar staff person calls the relevant police department, and once the police start closing in on the vehicle, OnStar can issue a command that drops the power in the engine so that the car can only go 3 miles an hour, and the police can put the cuffs on. Again, pretty cool if it helps you get your car back. Not so cool to know that someone else has the power to stop your car while it's moving, especially if you happen to be the one driving at the time. A similar stopping technology is being used by auto dealers and loan companies if you buy a car on time and the dealer suspects that you might be a credit risk. If you fall behind in your payments, the dealer can remotely cut off the power to the vehicle using wireless communication technology similar to a cell phone. And it's easy for the dealer to find the car once it's shut down, since the technology includes GPS, so the repo guys can come and get it. Proponents of this technology swear that the devices are safe and won't shut down a vehicle if it's moving, although there have been several lawsuits already with claims to the contrary. The technology supposedly allows lenders and dealers to make loans to people who don't have the greatest credit, since the loan becomes much less risky if the loan owner can find the car, stop it easily, and repossess it if necessary. And in fairness, borrowers sign a contract that lets them know that the technology is in the car they're buying and could be used if they fall behind in their payments. Once again, it seems a little strange that the vehicle you're purchasing, just like the Kindle that you bought from Amazon, is really not under your control. Of course, no one has to buy a Kindle from Amazon or has to buy a car under circumstances that allows the lender to turn it off, or has to subscribe to the OnStar service, even though that OnStar technology is still in cars, even if you don't want to use it. But the day may not be far off when, in order to drive a car or get car insurance, you may have no choice but to install tracking technology in your car. So-called, quote, pay-as-you-drive, end quote, schemes are being floated in many states, including Maine. And California is on the brink of making auto insurance pricing dependent on how many miles you drive in a year, which means that insurance companies need to have a way to track your mileage. More on those plans and on how the physical and electronic worlds are different, and sometimes distressingly similar, on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.